Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to our Cubs Talk podcast on NBC Sports Chicago and NBCSportsChicago.com. All brought to you by our great partners at Wintrust, home of Cubs checking in that really sweet WATM car with Tony Andracki, Kelly Kroll, Layla Rahimi for Baseball Night in Chicago. I'm David Kaplan. So we haven't had baseball, actual baseball involving the Cubs since Saturday when it probably shouldn't have been played. Tony, is that a game that you can use as a springboard, or the fact that Sunday, Monday have been washed out, you really lose that bounce effect?
Probably a little bit of both, but actually if anybody was sick from having to play in, you know, sub 30 degree weather with wind chill, now they got a couple days off, you got another day for Rizzo's back to heal and come out in the cold weather. So I think it's a springboard in the sense that, yeah, they won, but also these couple days of rest, it's like a mini all-star break right now.
Yeah, from what you hear from the guys after a game like this, especially when it's like the 12th, 13th game of the season, you're going to be hard-pressed for a guy to tell you, oh, yeah, this is going to shoot us on a 10-game winning streak. This is the game we needed. No, I mean, they're really it's survival mode in there right now. These games are literally, guys are just, let's get through it. Let's not get hurt. Let's get to May when things start to heat up and we'll find our groove. This is such a confident group that they're not concerned like fans are that are living and dying game to game and, you know, strikeout to strikeout right now.
So relax.
Relax, yeah. And so in other words, to what Tony said, I mean, you get Rizzo that doesn't have to go out there and play on Monday quite yet in the cold, and Almora, who came back in that game, still wasn't 100%. I mean, he felt a lot better after that homer he had, but he could use another game or day or two as well. So
Layla.
Yeah, I have a question, because part of the reason we're having such a problem with the weather isn't just the aberration of the weather itself. It's the fact that baseball decided to start a week early. And the idea was they would get more off days scheduled down the road when they actually needed them. Now we're seeing this backfire spectacularly. It's unseasonably cold across the country, and all those off days that were built in are now having to be taken. It's almost like backing up your school year. Mine, the earliest day I started was August 9th, and then they realized it didn't do any good because the state of Texas had to pay millions of dollars on extra air conditioning. I wonder if this is something they'll revisit because of how this is affecting the season later on.
Yeah, but they've always played April 16th, so that's the part. This past week has been the worst of it. Nobody expects the second week of April to be snowing in New York, in Chicago, in Minnesota, where they just got like a foot. So you are right, but like there's more rainouts now in the middle of April
when
than there was at the end
anybody.
Of March.
Anyway.
Yeah.
But now we've been through this for 3 weeks, and people are starting to get annoyed.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
My point is we've
people
had to start dealing with this from day one of the season.
Well, the players wanted those four extra days off. They don't like playing doubleheaders. We had Glanville and DeJesus in here the other day. Both went, oh, I hate doubleheaders. You can't have it. Give me all my days off and make sure we don't have to play doubleheaders.
I think you might be surprised. And I mean no offense to DeJesus and Glanville, but this younger generation that's coming up right now, I want to ask some of the guys, I think they would be for playing more doubleheaders than going through what they're going through right
give
now.
Give me an extra week till we start the season, and give me doubleheaders back down in July and August.
When it's warm outside. I really do. Once they're out there, they're out there, and a day is a day. They're going to be there at 7 a.m. at the park anyway, and I mean, I think that's kind of how they would feel. Give me an extra week with my family now kind of thing. So, yeah, I could see that happening with the schedule. And, you know, there's also going to be something. It's going to take a long time, and I feel bad for whoever it is that has to sit down with a schedule. But you can't have a team like Milwaukee, who has a roof, start their season out in San Diego. That can't happen.
Right. Two warm weather or climate controlled can't meet in the first month of the season.
That's got to be rearranged.
Kelly, I think you bring up an excellent point when it comes to younger players, because they're in the batting cages early before games anyway. Mm-hmm. Why don't make those reps count? Sometimes guys don't want to. But they are people, especially the position players. Those guys want the reps. Like, they want to be hitting. So, you know, having an extra game to get extra at-bats might not be the worst thing in the world sometimes, if that's the alternative to this.
But what do you say to people who they freak out on social media? And that again, that's not every Cub fan, but I hear from a lot of them that, oh boy, this team's this, Yu Darvish is that, Jose Quintana is that, and I keep going R-E-L-A-X. I channel my inner Aaron Rodgers. I go, it's brutally cold. We have some Latino players that hate playing in the cold. Just relax. It's 14 games. There's 148 to go.
Yeah, I mean, you can spell out relax or just SSS. It's small sample size. I mean, Yu Darvish has had a bad
You've been sitting on that one for a while.
I was, yeah. As soon as Cap spelled out relax, I was spelling out SSS in my head. But, I mean, Yu Darvish has had a bad three-stretch start before. We saw it in the World Series. He had two bad starts then as well. So it is just three starts. I mean, Jose Quintana will be fine. Yu Darvish will be fine. John Lester's already proven he'll be fine after one bad start. Ian Happ will be fine. All these guys will be fine. But, I mean, I also wouldn't want to go out and play in sub-30-degree weather when it's rainy.
Awful.
And there's, a 1,000 fans were left in Wrigley on Saturday by the time the game was over. So I wouldn't want to do it. I can't imagine they would have to do it either.
All right, you were one of those people still left in the ballpark.
Yeah.
How cold?
Awful. The worst game I've ever covered in 5 years. Of course, the first year doesn't count because I was in San Diego. But the 4 years I've covered baseball here in Chicago, that was bar none the worst weather conditions I've ever seen. Not because it was colder. We have played, or they have played, in colder games. But that sleeting, freezing rain was coming at them completely sideways, straight into the face on that third base side because of the way the wind was blowing in. I have no idea how any pitcher could grip the ball. Those guys standing out there in the field, it was miserable.
Yeah, I did a game.
And props to the fans, because I sure as heck would not have been sitting
in those
seats.
I did a game, Cubs-Dodgers 96, I think, or 97, and Ramon Martinez, the wind chill was 19 when we started. No rain, but it was brutal, and Tommy Lasorda lobbied to have the game postponed. They said no, and Ramon Martinez pulled his hamstring so severely he was out 3 months.
Oof.
So
that's what you worry about. And Adam was very strong afterwards, and cool, saying there's no reason you should be playing baseball.
Layla, can you imagine if, God forbid, Chris Bryant, Wilson Contreras have like a 3 month injury? It completely derails your season.
Yeah, and it's interesting to me because our friends at FanGraphs, who quantify everything, also quantified Saturday's game among the bad weather games, and they take into account temperature, wind speed, wind direction, and precipitation. And they have this listed on their master list of bad weather games. And they've got about 10 here. And they say they're games with temperatures at least 38 degrees or colder and wind speed of at least 24 miles an hour. And that qualifies. 2018, on the 14th, the wind speed was 24 miles an hour per average. The wind direction was from center. Precipitation was drizzle, and the temperature was 38. The last one that they measured, by the way, was in Chicago, was Chicago, as well as the White Sox. Chicago, White Sox, Minnesota playing at Guaranteed Rate Field. 37 degrees, 24 mile an hour wind speed, and the wind direction was from left to right. And amazingly, they measured attendance for Saturday's game, 36,788.
A lot of people standing in the concourse when I tried to get some blood circulation going in my legs. I took a lap just for fun, right? And found out that the blankets were sold out in most of the vending places.
$50 blankets.
$50 blankets. And the $10 cups of hot chocolate were the number one seller, even.
And she, you heard her right. She said on the bra, I'm watching. And Kelly goes, that's the best $10 I ever spent.
And at that moment, it really felt like it, because all those statistics she just read off, you just felt it. And the guys, you know what's interesting about this, Cap, this is the first time we've seen the dugout roof play in to the whole precipitation factor. And the guys were using the back part of this dugout where they can't see even the game. But it didn't matter.
Ducked down from the sideways rain.
It was spitting into their faces. They couldn't get out of it.
All right, we'll take a timeout. We'll come back. Got more to do here on the Cubs Talk podcast. Brought to you by our friends at Wintrust with Layla, Kelly, with Tony. I'm Cap. We'll be right back. Keep your money local. Bring it home to a Wintrust Community Bank, home of Cubs checking with free ATMs nationwide. Find out more at wintrust.com/Cubs. Member FDIC. We continue our Cubs Talk podcast here on NBC Sports Chicago and NBCSportsChicago.com with Tony Andracki, Leila Rahimi, Kelly Krull. I'm David Kaplan. So I read a great article. There are 40 players, according to ESPN, that will be in the Hall of Fame when their careers end that are current major leaguers today. Mm-hmm. Mike Trout and Bryce Harper and Clayton Kershaw. Two members of the Chicago Cubs are on that list. Can you tell me who they are?
Chris Bryant.
Yep, Chris Bryant. One.
John Lester.
Nope.
Whoa.
Anthony Rizzo.
Bingo.
Wow.
How about
I was gonna
that?
Say Darvish,
consistency,
maybe.
Consistency, just uh-huh. in general, year in, year out.
Yep.
With his,
yeah. Yep.
Well, and I will say this, Cubs fans may not have, I mean, you might have realized, but now having seen Chris Bryant, Caratini, Ben Zobrist try to man first base, I don't think you realize just how good Anthony Rizzo is at picking out those balls in the dirt, you know, whether it be Addison Russell or KB, who tends to let his float a bit. Anthony Rizzo is so good and just makes it look
Bryant
so
was
easy.
Playing the other day, and we froze it on the monitor here. Mm-hmm. And he's going to backhand it, and he's looking away with his eyes
he's
closed.
He's like squinting.
Rizzo, we showed, and he's looking it into his glove. Like, it's two totally different human beings.
The funny, you know, one of the funny interactions I had was the, you guys remember with Bryant on first when Contreras picked up that ball and heaved it, and it ended up being a runner interference call, right?
Yeah.
But Chris Bryant wanted no part of catching that, and he comes into the dugout.
89 miles an hour.
Like, 20, he's what, 40 feet away, maybe? Chris Bryant comes into the dugout, goes straight up to Anthony Rizzo, and I see them, like, laughing at one another, and I have a pretty good feeling it had something to do with that throw.
No question.
And I see Rizzo kind of showing him the stance that he gets down in to sort of catch that ball, and I'm
brutal.
Just, I'm laughing, thinking, these guys.
I think it's also the fact that, like, if you have to go from third base to first base, you have to be a little ambidextrous, because you have to be able to mirror your body movements. Because what you did on the right side has to work now on the left side a lot of times, or it's a crossbody situation too.
Yeah, it's Wilson Contreras loves to burn that ball down to first. And I said on the post game last year, he almost threw one away and cost him a game. Yeah. And I blasted him. I said, dude, you do that again, I'm going to drive out there and have a discussion with you. And he DM'd me. Hey, man, that's how I do it. Leave me alone.
He says he feels insecure if he takes anything off of it because he's been doing that long, because I talked to him for a long time about this. But he is trying to work on it, because I think what he realizes now that if it's not Rizzo out there, there's a lot of guys who aren't ready for it.
They can't handle it.
I talked to Caratini about it in Milwaukee, because there was one play where Caratini was playing first, and then you could see him say something to Wilson when they went back. So Caratini told me what he says to Wilson, but I can't say any of it on this podcast right now. So, but you're right. I mean, he's literally been clocked at 89 to 90 miles an hour
from
like 60 feet down the line. That's
insane.
Well,
that's what that ball that hit the runner was 80 miles an hour out of the.
Yeah, when the pitcher ran out of the baseline.
Yeah.
So here's my question is, at what point does he need to start? This is way later on, but at some point he might have to start conserving that energy for something else later.
You know, he says no.
Take a couple miles off the ball.
He won't. He's not comfortable.
No.
All right, if you could set the lineup, you're making out Joe Maddon's lineup.
Okay.
What would your lineup be?
Against a righty or a lefty?
You're against a righty.
I'm probably still going to go, I'm going to go Hap.
Oh, don't say that.
I will. I knew you were going to hate that answer. I'm still going Hap.
I hate that answer.
Up top. And I do, I still like the Bryant, Rizzo, Contreras, whatever. 2, 3, 4. I have Javi in there. At this point, I don't really care, you know, where they're hitting. But I'd have Javi in there. I'd have Schwarber in there. I might be moving Jason Hayward as a guy who comes in off the bench.
Layla?
And seeing Zobrist out there, something along those lines.
I would lead off with Ben Zobrist currently.
I'm with you there.
I would put Albert Almora in right field. I would have Jason Hayward in center.
Well, why would you put Jason out of his position if Albert's a natural center fielder?
Oh, I mean, you could have him go either way. But, like, I don't know. To me, it's like when you've got two center fielders, as they like to say, in the outfield.
Mm-hmm.
You know, do with it what you will.
Right.
So you could have, I don't know, I like the idea of mixing up slightly, but.
You?
I don't know if with Albert or Zobrist.
I'm with Lila. I would go Zobrist. I would put him in right, and I would have Hayward on the bench just like Kelly did. So I would go that, and then KB, Rizzo, Contreras, Schwarber, Russell, Happ, Javi. I actually am really come around to Javi in the eight hole. I think it's like this forced development where he has to stop swinging at the ball out of the strike zone, and that's a perfect spot for him.
Yeah, I'd lead off Albert Almora until he proves to me he can't do it. I'd say, hey, kid, the next 3 weeks you're playing center field just about every day. You're out there.
I'm he does using, bring a lot, even
in he gives you
of
great
running,
base running,
pass.
Elite yeah. glove, some power, maybe not as much as Ian Happ, and I would leave Ian Happ as a super Ben Zobrist.
See that?
Hey, Ian, you're gonna back up here. You're gonna back up there. You're playing for Schwarber. You're playing in right, but I'm not. He's not my everyday leadoff guy. No shot.
So you bring up an interesting point because across town they're having issues with their leadoff batter as well, Yoan Moncada, and I asked Doug Glanville, and I've asked David DeJesus and Scott Podsednik about, is there really more to it for a player hitting leadoff? And they all said yes. And if it's messing with a guy, you've got the roster. And we all argued for Albert Almora as a leadoff batter last year, if I recall,
mm-hmm.
around, say, August, maybe. So, I mean, if, you know, if you've got the firepower, why not try it? Why not do something different?
Give him a shot.
I'm really not on the Almora leadoff train. I mean, against lefties, it's fine because
sure.
he gets on base 37% of the time.
How are you going to know he can hit righties if you don't let him do it?
I'm just for a dude getting on base. Just
but that's the thing is, Almora doesn't against righties. He would struggle
and
to have like a 280
on base.
He would need to check the numbers, Sparky.
For
the numbers are better.
Against righties?
Than you realize.
No, he had like 280 on base percentage.
I'm talking about his batting average, his ability to put the ball in play a little bit.
That's true. He'll always put the ball in play more than Ian Happ and more than a lot of other guys on the team, but that's also because he's swinging first pitch. I mean, your leadoff hitter, like the days of Dexter Fowler, where you see seven pitches and KB is in the on-deck circle, sees Fowler, sees everything that the guy has to offer, throwing to Fowler. You don't get that with Almora because Almora swings at the first pitch.
You'll get it with
hops
Ian
out
Happ
ground.
Either.
You'll get it with Zobrist, but what Madden loves so much about him is deeper in the lineup, he's giving other guys better
protection.
Pitches to see. So that's where you really, by putting him at the top, now, again, everyone will say after that first round through, it doesn't matter where you are. But
yeah. I mean, and the protection thing is still iffy, too. I mean, Zobrist has been good, but the idea that another team would not pitch to Chris Bryant because Ben Zobrist is backing him up at 36, as good as he's been, I can't imagine.
Would you ever lead off Bryant?
That'd be fun. Why not? When Rizzo's healthy, sure. But, like, these last 10 days.
We saw Aaron Judge lead off for the Yankees.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It would be a fun experiment, I
suppose. I'm not as formulaic with the whole your leadoff batter needs to have X and Y and, like, see a bunch of pitches. And yeah, sabermetrically speaking, of course you want a guy who can steal bases and get on base and take a lot of pitches and blah, 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 blah. But you just don't have it sometimes on your roster. So why let it mess with a guy's head? Just take the path of least resistance and change it up. Well, I'm with you. I think sometimes putting your best batter at leadoff mixes it up as well.
Gets him the most at bats.
And you could put Almora 9 then. So you move the pitcher spot up to 8th. Mm-hmm. So then it's almost like KB is the number 2 hitter again. There's your Almora as a leadoff type thing.
Could do that.
Turn over the lineup.
So, all right, before we get out of here, where will the Cubs be in a week?
I say they take both two from the Cardinals for sure.
And then they go to Colorado.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting. I'm waiting to see. Tony and I were talking about this. We're obviously taping this on Monday where Chatwood would have been pushed back and starting today. But now I think Joe's going to play into who he wants.
Chatwood's still going on Tuesday.
Chatwood's supposed to still go on Tuesday. But I think he will start thinking about Colorado and who he wants pitching there. So with guys having this many, you've not gotten into a rhythm at all as a starting pitcher. None of these guys have. But I still think that they'll take a couple
against. So Chatwood
will
pitch in Colorado.
Has that come out then?
Yeah, it's still Chatwood, Lester, and then no, Chatwood would miss Colorado. But so you'd have Hendricks, Darvish, Quintana in Colorado. That's the three that I would line up because this is only the two-game series, which that's not great for Darvish and Quintana are both struggling. Now they got to go to Colorado.
Yeah.
But we know Chatwood struggles in Colorado.
Right.
So.
Yeah, that's
yeah,
true.
Yeah, but Chatwood
too.
At least pitched in Colorado quite a bit.
But not well.
Yeah. You know what? The Rockies have not – they've made the Cubs look not very good in their past few series against them historically over the last couple of years.
They're pretty good.
They're better. So. Yeah.
Where do you think they'll be in a week?
I think that they will have played two with the Cardinals, three with the Rockies. When we meet here next Monday, I'm going to say that they've taken
out of those five.
Three out of the five. I'm going to say three out of five.
I'm going to say four.
Wow, nice.
Go.
Love the optimism, kid.
They go on a four-game win streak and then lose Sunday in Colorado.
Nice. Love it.
I say three.
All right. You guys have a wonderful week.
You do the same, Pat.
Stay warm. Get some better weather here. And we'll talk to you all soon on the Cubs Talk Podcast. Brought to you by our great friends at Wintrust. Check out that sweet WATM card. See you.